So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. It is time for the Neil Greenberg Podcast. That's right. Once a week, Washington Post sports writer, analytics expert, fantasy gambling freak, Mr. Neil Greenberg joins the program, and we get to get smarter. What's up, Greenberg? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year.
Same to you, brother.
Let's start. There's a lot for us to cover, but I saw you had a tweet over the weekend, I believe, where you wanted to explain to fans. This feels like 8 years ago because of all the coaching drama that has since happened. But you wanted to explain to fans why you did not believe the winning the Eagles game and going from fifth to seventh in the NFL draft was that big of a deal.
Yeah, so I'm seeing some people being upset, and I get it. A higher draft pick is usually better. But there's a couple things at play here. Number one, the Commanders already got the most difficult piece to get in the draft as far as a franchise quarterback, right? They have Jaden Daniels. I understand what happened this year, but like, he's the guy, right? He's definitely the guy next year. And we'll have to wait and see what happens from that. That's number one. Number two is we know from years and years and years that it's very difficult to win the draft consistently, right? No team is better at drafting than any other team over time. There's a lot of variables that go into it. And especially when you take out the quarterbacks from the equation, you're looking at just non-quarterbacks. Number one, the difference between the fifth and seventh pick isn't that great. Number two, while the average number five pick may perform better, and I've thought about this on the show before, the noise in those numbers are very, very large. Because it's hard to quantify. Like, how do you compare a left guard to a defensive tackle, right? Like, how do you compare a wide receiver to a safety? We just don't have nuanced tools enough to adequately or definitively say that one player is better than the other if they're very close. I do believe players drafted at 5 and 7 are very close. So there's going to be a good player there. They're probably both going to be top 10 players in the draft.
Yep.
When we look at it down the road, they may both even be top 5 players. We just don't know. There's just a lot that we don't know when it comes to drafting and draft evaluation, and we certainly won't know until a couple of years have passed.
And if you don't know, and many people in the same position that you do don't know, I know that the people that's making all the comments on social media don't know either. I mean, they just look at the 5 and the 7 and they say, oh, man, 5 would be better than 7. There are some 7 rounds that were better than the 5th rounds in that year.
Absolutely.
I mean, seven. There were some 7 picks that were better than the 5th picks. And I think the ultimate thing is people get so caught up in just going with narratives instead of really allow this thing to go through. Because what if the teams in front of you are not looking for a certain position?
Yes.
And they draft the other position, and then you get the best at the position you're looking for.
Yes.
I don't think it makes a difference.
Right, and there's so many. I mean, look, let's just look at the two extremes, right? You have Chase Young taken at number 2, and you have Tom Brady taken in the 6th round, right?
Yes.
Like there's – you don't know what you have until you know what you have. And, you know, like you said, if the first 4 picks – you know, this is just hypothetical, but if the first 4 picks were quarterbacks and Washington doesn't need a quarterback, they need a defensive end, you know, then that's just a different equation. And There's just so much that goes into it. And again, you know, evaluating football players when they do such different things on the field, it's very difficult to make an apples-to-apples comparison, even on something that seems so simple as the number 5th to number 7 pick. Now, we try to do it, and we have some good ideas, and we can kind of give some general guidelines. But, you know, let's face it. Like, we cannot with any certainty say that a 5th pick at X position is going to be better or worse than the 7th pick at a different position 4 or 5 years from now. Like, if we could do that, then we would be in having different conversations. We're just not able to do that yet.
We'd be like Biff in Back to the Future 2.
Exactly, exactly. Like, that's, yeah, that we're not there yet. I wish we were, but we are not even close to there.
All right, well, fast forwarding one day in Commander's time, and a lot has changed. There's zero surprise Joe Witt was fired. That was widely expected. He got demoted midway through the season. That kind of tells you what's going to happen. The Cliff Kingsbury news was, on some level, surprising, and on some level, a really big step for Dan Quinn. What do you make of that decision?
Well, I think the destination would have been the same no matter what, right? Cliff Kingsbury moving on to something else. There's been talk that he's been being evaluated for another head coaching position. There's certainly a lot of head coaching positions that are open. He's shown what he can do with a young offense, especially one with a quarterback. So the fact that he's not with Washington anymore, I don't think is the surprising part. I think the surprising parts of this were, the first part was Dan Quinn's presser when asked about Kingsbury directly and kind of didn't give him any sort of anything, right? I mean, there wasn't even we're happy he's here, we love what he's done, or even, you know, I can understand why he's under consideration for head coaching positions or why teams would be interested. I mean, there was nothing. Mm-hmm. And that was surprising. That was the most surprising thing of the whole presser, in my opinion. And then, you know, we're starting to get word about a fallout between Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't know how you can look at this offense with all the missing pieces for the amount of time that they had, key missing pieces, and evaluate it with any certainty. I mean, philosophically, okay, I get it. Maybe there's a philosophical difference, but I don't know if you want to go in the direction that Dan Quinn seems to be saying to go, which is run the ball more. I think they've already run it probably too much in a lot of different situations. I get a lot of flack on Twitter, like, oh, you have to look at running backs versus quarterbacks. And, you know, I got news for you. Running backs rushing the football is not efficient. It hasn't been efficient for a while. What's pumped up a lot of the rushing numbers overall are quarterbacks rushing the football. That has become more efficient. So, you know, again, I mean, there's a lot that goes into an NFL offense, starting with, you know, who you have on your team and what you're able to do, and then who you're playing, et cetera. I just think that this is kind of a mess, and I'm not so sure they can get someone better than Kingsbury. Maybe they get someone as good. But, you know, who knows? We'll have to wait and see. And no matter what, it's a huge step, and it really does put a lot more focus on Dan Quinn going into this next season.
It may put a lot of focus on Dan, but you know what? I may not be an analytics guy, but I have eyes. And my eyes tell me in those games I watch, they throw the ball too damn much, okay? In a situation where you didn't have the people that you thought you were going to have, and a lot of those passes are way less than a run. And when they had the running backs running the ball effectively, he wouldn't stick to it. But what I've learned about football is you have to make adjustments to stuff.
Yes.
And if every time you do something, if people sitting in the press box are calling out your plays, the defensive coordinator damn sure know what's coming. And I don't see that he made any adjustments. And as you watch Cliff coming into here, they said that Cliff Kingsbury, after a year, his offense is figured out. But if you keep putting your quarterback in harm's way, and he could be a head coach or whatever going forward, he going to have to adjust some stuff, or he going to keep running into these same problems.
Without a doubt. And, you know, adjusting in the NFL is probably the most important trait you can have as a head coach, and I would even say a front office, right? Because, you know, again, you're everything happens in real time, and defenses are getting better and better at disguising their coverage. I forget which quarterback talked about that on Twitter, but it had like a really great breakdown of of how that's changed. And you know, again, if you're a coach that can't make those adjustments, that's a problem. If you don't have the personnel to make those adjustments, that's a problem. You know, and as far as Kingsbury, I mean, he had a second and third string offense for most of the year. So, you know, if defenses were able to dictate their will against them, I'm not saying I give him a pass, but I think it's explainable, and the bar should at least be lowered a little bit in terms of evaluation, right? I mean, like, you wouldn't, I don't think it's fair to evaluate an offensive coordinator on his performance if he doesn't have all the key ingredients that you thought he would have going into the season. But again, I mean, it's football, man, and you know, I'm not going to even come close to trying to explain the game to you guys, but just in general, you know, you're lining up in front of someone that's trying to stop what you do, and quite simply, if they make a move one way or the other, you know, that completely changes what you're going to do. And that's why we talk about vision and football IQ, et cetera, you know, being able to adjust to that in real time. That's difficult. I mean, that's probably a second most difficult thing after trying to hit a baseball, you know, that's coming at you at 100 miles an hour. So, you know, I think that we as a group, public at large, are very hard on football players because, one, it's easy. There's no repercussions. And two, you know, we have a voice and we get the engagement by people telling us either how smart or how dumb we are. But, man, football's tough. And, you know, you got to, you know, it's hard. It's just hard. Yeah. And it's hard to quantify, and it's hard to explain. And I think it's hard to evaluate unless you know exactly what the game plan was going in.
Yep.
And again, you know, every player's assignment. I mean, there's just so much intricacies over it.
Everybody could do it from the couch.
Yeah.
Because they get the slowed down version on TV. And then the people on the analysts on TV tell them what they were trying to do. Then they could go on social media and act like they're smart. But at that split second decision, it ain't that easy.
Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Greenberg, I think I agree with you that DQ has upped the pressure on himself. And I think, honestly, he's fine with that because he knows this is his last chance. He's not going to get a third job. They've got to win in another down year where whether he thinks Cliff's offense got stale or that it's not going to keep the quarterback healthy, whatever it is, he arrived at that decision and I think is comfortable with it. Where do you think they go next? Because I think that's, at this point, the far more interesting side of this.
You mean where they go in terms of like their outlook?
No,
who they're going to get.
OC.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know who they're going to get because I don't know who's available and I don't know like who wants the job, right? I mean, how much is Dan Quinn going to be a part of everything? You know, is he going to continue doing the defensive side? Is he just going to try to get two more smart people in the room and let them do their thing? You know, who are they going to have available? Like, what's the offensive identity even going to look like? I mean, you know, what is Debo going to be there? What is the running back room going to look like? Who are they getting in the draft, et cetera? I do think, though, that they need to I agree with people when they say they should run under center more. That's fine. I agree with all that. I just don't – it gets me nervous when a defensive-minded head coach talks about running the football more because I don't think that that's efficient in the NFL. And I don't see Washington – being able to improve both on the offensive line and in the backfield enough where they could, you know, be like the Saquon Barkley with the Eagles, right? Or Derrick Henry, or, you know, something along those lines where they're opening up gaping holes and they have a workhorse back there. You know, that takes a lot of capital. And
but
right now,
I do think there's a difference between like wanting to run the ball more and like
the threat of it.
And just be, I mean, the predictability with the offense became a real thing. I mean, B for months was screaming about the bubble screen that they just kept running. Like,
and that's in stark contrast to last year, too. They were one of the best at being unpredictable.
And I think there is, like, if you want to boil everything down to, in the modern NFL, you have to pass to run, not run to pass. Like, I can understand conceptually where you're going with that, but I think that paints far too broad of a brush with what the problems were that don't show up just straight numerically with Washington's offense.
That's fair. The other challenge, though, is getting that unit to the point where they can be a threat, but also realizing that a lot of the draft capital that I think needs to be spent on the defensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So how much, you know, how much can you do that? I mean, if you have this same group with some minor improvements and let's say less Deebo Samuel, who was a threat to run at some points, you know, how much can you put the defense on, you know, like camouflage your stuff and really confuse a defense? I don't know. We have to wait and see what it looks like. But just looking at what's happened this year, I don't know if the offense is going to be able to take a large step up outside of getting healthier, right? Like, that's obviously going to improve the offense just by having Jaden Daniels under center, you know, Terry McLaurin in camp from the beginning. But I just don't know how much the offense can improve just based on what the other needs are around the team.
I'm going to give you a little homework thing for me, Neil. Take 20 plays of a team running from under center, quarterback turning his back, putting the ball into the gut of the running back, and give me 20 plays in that shotgun, that pistol position, whatever, and watch the effect, how it affects the linebacker. And I guarantee you that quarterback under center turning his back is going to get much more of a pull than that guy in the center, and I think that right there can dictate however a play is going to go at the end.
That's true. I mean, and you know, the play action type stuff is definitely, you know, a part of what can help an offense. And, you know, again, making you only have what, half a second? A second at most to confuse the defense.
Yeah.
While they're also trying to confuse you. And you know, it's tough. You also need guys that are threatening, right? And if the offensive line, the running back that you have, that you're working with, aren't threatening. And I think, you know, Washington's running backs did fine. I think they did better than people give them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
I think C-Rod was probably the better of the two in terms of efficiency. But I don't know if you're going to strike fear in the heart of a defense with them. But you can absolutely do it if, you know, you have everybody back and Jaden's a threat to run and your running backs are a threat to run and, you know, Jaden's slinging the ball like you did a year ago, et cetera. You know, that accelerates everything, and then we might be having a very different conversation.
Greenberg, we got a boogeyman. Always appreciate you, bro. How about the Wizards?
I love you guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, man.
See you, buddy. That's our friend Neil Greenberg, noted Wizards fan. Here's what we're going to do. I want to open the phone lines up. We've got fresh reporting that I'm not sure we're all going to agree with, but fresh reporting about the Commanders situation that looks pretty damn messy from Bleacher Report. Nobody go.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there is no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, B, we haven't had one of these in a while.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
But now we got one.
What we got?
Jordan Schultz has been on the program before.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of works for himself. Mm-hmm. Hosts a podcast with Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Schultz, 15 minutes ago, tweeted out, sources. Part of the issue the Commanders have had in the building is the front office meddling with the coaching staff on personnel and which players to use. An ongoing problem dating back to 2024 when they were having success. With the team struggling this year, it reached new heights and there were notable disagreements. Moreover, I have not gotten the impression Dan Quinn wanted to move on from his coordinators. The entire disconnect is one to watch as we head into 2026. There's a lot of bleep going on there, a source said. What do you make of it?
What I'm hearing right there, because if you look at who was playing and who wasn't playing and how they were performing, how would you believe somebody else was telling them that person had to play?
If the front office was meddling, wouldn't they push for younger players?
I would think. So I don't want, listen, bro. When things go wrong for certain people, some accept it as adults and move forward to the next one, and some decide, okay, well, if I'm out, I'm going to blow the whole damn thing up. So when I hear sources, source don't mean source to me anymore all the time. Sometimes source mean SS. The last word is starter. Okay? And that happens at this level. And let's be real. Okay? I understand media, and we want to give everybody credit for being a damn good reporter, but some people like to just go with the stuff. And I don't know if I buy that one 100%.
I don't know, man. Is there some S going on in the building? Yeah, they just fired both their coordinators. Mm-hmm. And according to Nikki Javala, also fired their O-line coach. I think you could argue the offensive line was
probably as good as they come.
The best unit in that building.
Yeah.
Outside of their punt and kick coverage units. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If the front office is meddling, one, I believe like the DQ Adam Peters relationship is super tight. I believe that. I see that. Like, I know that, right? Mm-hmm. Those guys are talking all the time about.
So, who are they meddling with? Okay, if the front office is meddling, are they going around DQ and go to other position coaches? So, if those two guys have a great relationship and they don't shy away from saying they communicate about a lot of stuff, and DQ has said he has the final say. So, the question would be, if it's a Discord, who are they talking to besides DQ?
The only thing that I at least question looking at this report from Jordan Schultz, who, again, is kind of a self-employed dude. Jordan Schultz is a very different reporter than somebody with the ESPN or NFL Network or The Athletic or something. This is a different beast here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not knocking the reporting because he's been right about stuff. I know Jordan was the only national reporter when we were at Eastern Motors with Terry McLaurin. Like, he has serious relationships around the league. The only thing I can wonder, because I was surprised by Bobby Johnson getting fired. I don't know if you were. The Kingsbury stuff, by the time we got to the finish line on it, wasn't a surprise. In fact, yesterday, you and I texted in the morning. We were waiting for it to happen, and we weren't sure if it would happen while we were on the air or not, right? You draft Coleman. He plays left tackle for you for the rookie season. Admirably. Not always great, but admirably.
Mm-hmm.
Then you trade for Tunsil. Then you draft Connerly with the plan of Coleman being your left guard. A few weeks in, Coleman can't get it done. You go to Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Coleman's inactive. Eventually, Coleman works his way back up into active status. Eventually, Tunsil misses some time. I think Coleman fills in on the left side pretty well. I could see the front office caring about how that all worked out, how everything was going on the offensive line. And I wouldn't think much about that until last night. your line coach is fired,
mm-hmm.
even though that group performed at about the best of any group.
They performed well, but I'm going to ask this question.
Now, that may be stretching too far. I don't know.
I'm going to ask you a simple question. Who you saw playing over somebody that wasn't playing, thinking that somebody was forcing them to play?
I don't, but I wonder.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that reporting right there make me ask a question. And I am going through as much as I've seen who played that shouldn't have been playing and somebody else was so great behind them.
I don't know that answer. But if you were to look and try to come up with conspiracy theories here, as the year progressed,
mm-hmm.
and Ben Sennett was a third-round pick,
mm-hmm.
and he's not getting any playing time, and the offensive coordinator, who's since been fired, is sticking with the veteran who he brought here. Remember, Zach Ertz was the first dude they signed. Mm-hmm. Cliff traded for Ertz in mm-hmm. Arizona. Maybe that's one eventually the front office is like, yo, why isn't the kid playing?
But the question I would ask about that is...
You're asking me where could it be, and I'm trying to come up with thoughts.
That's where I come from, because I like Ben Sennett too. And I know after he caught one pass for a long period... See, every time he goes on the field, he performed. But did you watch the last game? Okay? And there were three plays in a row that were negative. And I think what people don't look at is the overall of what you're doing on the field. Not one play here, one play there. Still... The question would be, should Ben be playing before Zach? Before Zach got hurt? I doubt it. Seriously. So I don't understand that one right there. So I don't know if that's somebody throwing a grenade on the way out and say, if I'm going down, I'm taking everything with me. But I would understand it if I knew somebody that this guy is a ball buster. Why is he not out there?
Totally, man. I mean...
Like, listen, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I don't just jump on stuff. If I know factually some things are happening, I love to discuss it at a high, high level. But I am going through every position that I could think about, and I don't think nobody was sitting on the bench that needed to be on the football field.
I agree with you. I believe in meritocracy and guys forcing their way out there, right?
Yes.
But this is interesting because it's hard to not think – I think Cliff will go high road throughout this. I don't think we're ever going to publicly hear from Cliff, period. But if you're a representative for Cliff Kingsbury and you'd like your guy to get a head coaching job, you got to cover your tracks a little. Hey, we're going to get some interviews here. We got to make sure that our side of events is out there. I don't know that that's the case.
No,
but
I understand that, but you know what?
When you look at this, all of a sudden... The only national report that emerged last weekend was that there was beef between Cliff and AP.
Mm-hmm.
And now this report is, hey, man, a lot of people think the front office is meddling with the coaching staff too much.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be a consistency there. For me, how much do you believe it's chaotic over there and there's real trouble? Or do you think this is DQ pressing the reset button, running his own building, recognizing he's got to get better?
I don't think it's chaotic, but I will say this. I don't ever think that it's just the one person that is doing stuff. I think anytime a decision of that magnitude is made, it's a group thing. It's not one person. So, no, I don't. I've been around too often. And if there were chaos, I would have seen some chaos. But I can tell you this, that decision that was made the other day is not a one-man thing. That's what I believe. Because I've been around sports too long, and I know people like to say the coach makes final say. And I've been with some of the strongest coaches in this damn NFL, in Andy and Joe. And you know when they made decisions, they didn't make it by them damn selves. So I'll be damned if DQ is making one by himself, 100%.
Barry Sferluga will join us at noon. Maybe we'll sneak some phone calls in. I know folks are on hold. A lot going on out there. There's a report that it's fairly chaotic in Ashburn. Is that real? Is there a lot of moving parts? Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley. Hey, it's JP Finley, and you've heard me talking about all the great work Better Services has done at my home. They've taken care of all my appliances. When we were down and out dealing with that flood, they came to the rescue, and now they're about to hook it up again. Better Services, beyond the work they can do on your appliances, maybe you need a repair, maybe you need new ones, go check out their showroom in Kensington. They also have handyman services. I got Better Services coming to the house Monday to put some handles on some cabinets and to fix some holes in the wall that my crazy kids pulled a gate out of the wall. And they asked, do you need a new gate? I said, no, unless I can start pinning the children inside rather than keeping them downstairs. No, I don't need a new gate. I just need the holes in the wall fixed. They're going to take care of it. Whatever it is you're looking for. Say you need handyman services, call Better. Say you're thinking about a renovation, a bathroom or a kitchen, call Better. Or go with their bread and butter. They can take care of all your appliances. Check out the showroom in Kensington. They've got all the makes and models you're looking for. They can offer next day delivery or maybe even same day delivery. Plus, they will haul off your old appliances. Check them out online at betterservices.com. That's B-E-T-T-A-R, betterservices.com. You better get better.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
A lot of things feel like what's old is new again. What's new is old again, whatever that saying is. Jordan Schultz of Jordan Schultz Media reporting that there's a lot of S going on in Ashburn, that the front office is meddling. Specifically, he writes, sources, part of the issue the Commanders have had in the building is the front office meddling with the coaching staff on personnel and which players to use, an ongoing problem dating back to 2024 when they were having success. With the team struggling this year, it reached new heights and there were notable disagreements. Moreover, I have not gotten the impression Dan Quinn wanted to move on from his coordinators. The entire disconnect is one to watch as we head into 26. There's a lot of bleep going on there. Do we think DQ didn't want to move on from Joe Witt? The two of them have a tight personal relationship.
He moved on from
certainly.
Him.
He did it in season. The Cliff thing may be more complicated, but this seems like trying to rewrite history. I want to sneak a couple of these calls in. Joe is in Manassas. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show as always. Man, I, you know when you think about it, you're like, what players were you talking about? What players are you thinking about? My theory is, this is my theory, my point of view. You think this could be talking about Jaden? Just as far as you know, as far as the management meddling in them not wanting to play him and Cliff saying and DQ being like, hey, we need him out there. We want him out there. He's healthy. He needs to be out there. Let's make this offense going into next year. Let's see some positive signs. Like, do you think that could be it? Because that's what I think is personally it.
Give me that one more time.
He was saying when it came down to Jaden not playing, I guess at the end of the season, when they shut him down, was that could be it. I don't see that would be what that article was talking about.
I'm not even trying to like ignore it. I don't understand the question that the article's saying that because they shut Jaden down.
That's what he's saying. Could it be when that he's trying to say DQ was saying that he wanted Jaden to play, but somebody in the front office might say, well, he shouldn't play. I don't see that as that.
I think, if anything, if they shut Jaden down, it's because DQ and AP had questions if the offense would keep him upright. Like, go back to the Seattle game. That was not a scramble when he got hurt down 30. And everybody yelled at DQ about having him in the game. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Could there be a question there? Sure. I'm not sure there is, but it could be a question. I want to check in with the aquarium real quick before we go to Barry. Landini, what do you make of all this? Is it you know, guys got fired and now they've got something to say anonymously, or is there real trouble over there?
No, I don't think there's real trouble. I think people, you know, somebody got fired and obviously that person's not pleased with the situation, and that's that.
Or at least people that work for that person.
Yeah.
People whose job is to make sure he gets another job. The Bobby Johnson thing is a little more interesting to me in this, because I still don't know why he was fired, and maybe there were some questions on the offensive line side of this, but Bobby doesn't strike me as a guy that's stirring after that. Jeffrey, what about you? Big trouble, or...
I don't know.
It's, like you said, I think it's just headlines of somebody that's trying to keep him employed.
So none of you guys are worried that there is a greater concern?
Nah.
I'm not. Because this is the thing. Even as far as back as last year, did you ever think that something was going on last year?
That is a notable part. An ongoing problem dating back to 2020.
So if you only discuss this year, it kind of makes that article kind of moot. But if you throw it back to last year, but then when you look at last year, when the hell did something really become strange last year? I saw more hugs and smiles and stuff, and we saw it on TV, on interviews, everything, to where, when did that one happen?
It's a fair question, man. I find it hard to believe. Could the front office have gotten involved in personnel on the field? I can understand that. They talk about their collaborative approach all the time. The Dan Quinn not wanting to move on from his coordinators. I don't know, man. I conversations I had last night and this morning, I think when I say that DQ took a lot of pressure on himself, if he doesn't believe in that offense and offensively they have another bad year and he sticks it out with Cliff, they're all fired together. Mm-hmm. That's why he's like, if I don't believe in this now, I better do something about it now, because in a year I'm going down with the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I find the David Blau stuff so fascinating, because for better or worse, and it wasn't these guys, but every time that graphic pops up on Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, Sunday Night Football,
mm-hmm.
Mike McDaniel, Kevin O'Connell, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, all these dudes that were in this building that left, that haunts the building. It's just a reality of the building.
Yeah, yeah.
Now Detroit wants David Blau. They at least want to talk to him. I don't think organizationally, if it's, we're going to bring somebody in with a higher floor who's more established that I can feel more comfortable in as our offensive coordinator,
mm-hmm.
who's got to redo everything because he hasn't been here, which the continuity that Jaden Daniels has built up is going to be gone. Not to say Jaden can't persevere and be just fine,
mm-hmm.
but still, they've built something, or we can roll the dice on our own guy that other guys want. That, to me, is the far more fascinating thing going down.
It's far more fascinating, but then something just popped in my head. If it was a lot of strife going on over there, I know that they get final say on what's played on Hard Knocks. You don't think something would have been picked up?
Important to note that Hard Knocks gets edited by the team.
I understand what you're saying.
So nothing's getting out there.
But I'm just saying, like, you don't see, you will, if you got some stuff boiling in the background, you're going to see some level somewhere. And it may be something that could slip past it.
So this, I just got a tweet that's interesting. HHK Carpenter, who was trying to explain what I think the caller was trying to explain.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the last caller might be onto something. Jaden Daniels was healthy enough to play, and Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury wanted him out there because they're trying to win games. The front office might have put their foot down and said, no, shut him down. Should that be the case? And I mean, when Dan Quinn said that Jaden was going to be shut down, he said it was part team, part medical. And Jaden said he wasn't happy about it, but he understood it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's wrong. The coach's job is to win the upcoming game, period.
Yeah.
The front office's job is to look at the big picture.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just saying, I understand those two people saying that, but I know this too. Quarterback is different than every other position. And the I'm taking from Jordan Schultz's argument and his article, it's other stuff because teams shut down quarterbacks all the time. That's just something that happens. Other positions don't get that same luxury as a quarterback does. So I don't know if that, if you could take that situation and make that into things are going wrong. What the hell else you going to do with a quarterback who you believe is your future? You will probably protect him, right?
Interesting stuff. Barry's for Luga joins us next, and we're going to open the phone lines. Nobody go anywhere. Busy, busy day in Ashburn.